A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Nick's Place. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Live here at Nick's Place. Awesome place to watch March Madness. First game of the day is in the books. First two games of the day. Northwestern won 77-65 in overtime against Florida Atlantic. And then Baylor beat Colgate 92-67. Sometimes those 3-14 games and those are not very entertaining.
I did have, for what it's worth, on the bracket that I didn't fill out, Baylor advancing out of their region.
That's good.
My final four, if I had actually filled it out, was going to be Houston, Baylor, and then I believe on the other side of things, UConn.
Okay.
I forget what the other one was.
You didn't just go like all Texas bracket?
Who was the team that beat UConn? Creighton. I had them coming out of the other
okay.
one. So yeah, it was those four.
Yeah, my bracket last night, what hurt me was that Kentucky game. It killed me.
Well, it hurt everybody's.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
And I had Kansas at one point I had Kansas losing, but I flipped it last night.
Yeah?
Or yesterday morning, like right before the... Just last second, I was like, yeah, I'm not feeling this.
I'm out of here.
I'm out of this. I'm out of this one.
Screw this.
So, Paul, I is there any part of this season that's not just a major success for the Rockets? I mean, you've got Jalen Green playing really good basketball. I know it's like it's not great opponents, but he's playing his best basketball as a Rocket right now. He's being consistent. Shangoon reached some big peaks this year. So is Jabari. Amen Thompson is has like a plus 91 plus minus this month. It's double the next rookie, which is Chet Holmgren in the NBA. So they've had a lot of individual success this year. So do you view everything about this Rocket season a success?
I want to nitpick, but I mean they're doing what they're doing now without Tari Eason, without Alperen Sengun, and while Green, yes, has been doing what he's been doing against a lot of scrub teams. I mean, he has clearly answered the call out that Ime Udoka gave to this whole team right before the All-Star break. If you're looking at this team objectively, you should be comparing this year's team to last year's team, and it is so much better in so many different ways. I think the problem is, because of the way that the Rockets season began, where they actually had a winning record for a little bit of time, and then all of a sudden they had a swoon in the middle of the year where they were starting to look more like a young basketball team, I think that's why some people got to the point of apathy with them, again, even though there are some young, exciting players on the team. And I think the thing you got to remember just about Houston as a whole, like, people will follow winners here, but people are not going to passionately follow teams that are in the midst of a rebuild without a clear bit of light, the kind of light where you can see yourself winning a championship.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the tunnel. And, I mean, you don't have that with the Rockets quite yet. You have it with the Texans. You obviously have it with the Astros. So I think anyone who is maybe being negative about the Rockets right now, you should think to yourself, and I don't know how you are after seven straight wins, by the way, but you should be looking at last year, and especially right now, and say, wow, they got better as this season went along.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing of all that could happen for this team this year.
I mean, look, they're a game away from being 500. They hit their over on the win total this year. It was 33.5.
You're so happy about that, huh?
Yeah, I was happy about
that. How
much
did you put on that?
Like 150.
150, so what do you get?
Yeah, I think it was like minus 105, minus 115 when I got it, so another 135, I think it is.
Oh, so you don't even get all your money back for that?
No, so total, my payout will be 280. Something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so you are doubling it.
Yeah. So just okay. Like not a full double, but like a decent amount.
Okay,
so.
I gotcha. I always find it intriguing gambling on things where you're not going to at least double it. Maybe that's a dumb thing on my front, but...
No, because it's like you're typically paying to win $100 back. So, you know, if it's minus 115, you bet, you bet 115, so you get 100. I like to bet dogs more.
Okay.
It is more fun, unless I play like over or unders. And that's my guess is this weekend what I'll mostly bet. I don't know enough about these college basketball teams.
When you inevitably lose at the Auberge
this
weekend,
yeah.
Will you be angry? Like, what's your first reaction when you lose on a bet?
It depends on how I lose.
Okay. So, like a backdoor cover, you'd be very sad.
I'd be very sad.
Would you punch something?
No, not
would you throw
there.
Something?
No. I'll be in public somehow.
Would you swear?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
How loud is the swear? Is it 6 decibels, 7 decibels? Like, what? How many people are going to turn and look at you when you swear? Because you're not going to be like those guys at the horse tracks that are essentially like jockeying the invisible horse in front of you.
I love that video.
Those guys are very funny.
That video is awesome.
You see one of those at every single one of the big races that are right around the corner every single year. So you don't do that.
I'm probably like a 4 decibel out of 10.
Well, that's noticeable.
Yeah, I mean, it's noticeable for sure. Well, you hope to be you hope that the best part of going to a sports book is when you're not alone on a bet. Like, it is better when you kind of have, like, the vibes of the room. If everyone, you know, like, tomorrow, like, I'll bet on the Cougs tonight in some way, shape, or form. So that way, hopefully, I'll be, you know, in on the action with my surrounding peers that I don't know. Because when you're all going for the same thing, it's so much better.
Yeah.
Like, last time I went to Vegas, I guess 2 times ago, there was, like, a random Cincinnati game, like, football. It was, like, week 1. It was, like, Cincinnati, Oklahoma or something like that, and... But like everyone just
Big
happened 12 to be
pride on the line.
Yeah, it just happened to be like the same
big rivalry.
Everyone in the room was on the same bet, so it's like as the game was like roller coastering, like you feel the vibes of people. So it was pretty good.
Okay.
But, yeah, but I don't like freak out in public. I try to stay calm.
That's good.
Also, it's a new sponsor, so
this
I got to.
That's true too.
I got to be on my.
That's bet. Why I don't gamble because I know I won't handle it. I won't like, and if I'm going into a public place like mybookie.ag, you can do it privately, so no one actually has to see it.
Yeah,
but if I'm going to like the Auberge or another casino or something like that, like I don't want to bet because I'm just going to be nervous. One time, my friend let me play with his own money, play blackjack, and I won money. And I swear, the whole time they were laughing at how stressed I was because I didn't like it. Because I was like, "Well, this is your money. I don't want to lose it." So I was biting my knuckles and like fingernails and stuff like that. And I won $200. And I didn't even know I won $200 because I was like, because I lost a couple times, and I was just like, "What is going on? I don't know. I don't like this. It's too stressful for me."
Yeah,
and that's a game where you actually have some control over the actual outcome, as opposed to sitting and watching, like you know, a bunch of like 18, 19, 20-year-olds brick shots all game. Seeing as college basketball can be so ugly.
Yeah, that's why for March Madness, I prefer mostly to look at like over unders unless I have a good feel about. A team like, and I'm not gonna like waste my time betting on the Cougs. I don't go. I'm not gonna go -23.5. That's I don't like to be stressed, Paul, when the number's that big.
No.
Like if it's a stressful game, that's fine. But like if the Cougs are up by 30 with 2 minutes left, I don't want to be still sweating out a game.
I don't like that though.
I don't enjoy that part.
That's pretty funny. Like, oh, you got to run up the score. It's not worth winning if you can't win big.
Poor
Jack Riley from the Mighty Ducks, who is the true hero of that movie. Gordon Bombay, alcoholic booze bag loser.
What?
Almost got kids killed on a limousine while driving it on ice. People don't talk about that.
He does get a pass.
He's such
but
a
Ducks,
piece of
Ducks,
garbage in that
Ducks,
movie.
That was close. But Ducks fly together.
Flying V, you're offsides.
That is the I love that. Like it's such a not allowed play in hockey.
I had a couple of my friends in middle school, the high school that if I stayed in Massachusetts, Thayer Academy, hockey powerhouse in the area. They played some team that really was bad one game, and they did the flying V while they were up 6-0.
That's
and they got,
mean.
And they got in trouble after the game for it.
Yeah, that's kind of mean.
But they scored a goal on it.
Well, okay, then you know what? It works. If it works, it works.
The other team is so bad.
I mean, you know what? See, I hate that. That's my least favorite part about sports. Is
what?
If
bullying?
No, is make the stop.
Yeah, you got to make the stop.
Like, I'm sorry.
Cross-check somebody. Punch in the face.
Like, I'm sorry. If you're down by 40, that's your fault.
Yeah.
Like, the other team has the right to keep playing. What are they supposed to do? Just quit?
Yeah.
Because you suck?
Yeah.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Run it up. I hope the Cougs win by 50 tonight.
I do, too.
Just run it up and embarrass them.
I'll be honest. Like, that little Reddit thread talking about all the phallic nicknames, you know, that teams have been winning, like Farley Dickinson and Longwood.
Didn't we have one of those last night?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. Because you have to have it happen against a...
Morehead State.
Yeah, Morehead State.
Yeah, they got smoked. And they lost 85-69.
Morehead got smoked.
Illinois.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that game did not go well for them. What's your least favorite part about March Madness?
Syracuse not being in it anymore.
Okay.
It's hard for me to get into it without Syracuse being into it.
I understand.
When I was in college, I was really into college basketball, and now that Syracuse sucks again, I'm sort of, actually sucks for the first time. I'm just not as into it as I used to be.
Yeah, I think for me, it's, I just don't know anyone.
That also hurts. I do not, honestly, I could not tell you who the best player in college basketball today is.
Yeah.
Where maybe a couple of years ago I could.
Because I'm
going to guess it's that guy in Oakland who hit the 10 threes last night. And I don't even know his name.
He was a deep goalkie.
To someone, Josh Innes retweeted the image of him. He does look like young Gary Kubiak.
He does. Dude, he's in his fifth year of college. He's a D2 basketball player. And now he's coming up. If you missed the stat earlier, he took 6 twos this entire year. Incredible. Just chucking threes. He dribbled 3 times last night. I efficient basketball is what that is, Paul. But yeah, I miss the villains. I miss Grayson Allen. I miss J.J. Redick. But like, these guys don't stay in college basketball long enough to where there's no villains. They're, like, the coaches are the villains. But all the villain coaches have quit. Like, you can't hate Coach K. He's gone. You can't hate Roy Williams. He's gone. I mean, everyone hates Calipari, but he sucks now. So like all the evil empire feel of March Madness is gone. Did you see that last night? The Empire State Building?
No, I did not.
They lit it up with Darth Vader on it. It looked really sick. It was very cool.
I mean,
are you pro Darth Vader or anti Darth Vader?
I'm just anti New York City. You know, I like to visit it, but I just feel like they like to smell of their own farts a little too much. The city.
If they just didn't put the trash on the curb. So it was just sitting out there as you walked by. It wouldn't be as bad.
I hate the sports team so much that, like, I hate the city.
I understand.
It's just from growing up in Boston, you're just like, screw these guys. No, I did not see that. I was pretty bad with the NCAA tournament yesterday. I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not really that into it this year. So I watched, and I watched the highlights of everything, but in succession, I watched 1, Tokyo Vice, 2, most recent episode of Invincible, and then 3, I watched Roadhouse.
Dude, Invincible is the one that I haven't got into yet that I need to.
That's pretty good.
You want to hear what I watched last night?
What's that?
Grey's Anatomy.
Damn.
Happy wife, happy life.
I'm not going to lie. My Instagram seems to be suggesting that I should watch that because I've had a couple of reels recently.
Dude, your phone really thinks you're a chick.
Well, I do stand with women.
Yeah.
But I am a white knight.
It's gone. Your phone might have gone a little too far.
Yeah,
like it seems.
Well, it knows that I'm running out of options. That I need to find a significant other.
And these push notifications is what's going to help get you there. That's what you think. All right, Kentucky lost last night. Speaking of the March Madness, who do you love to see lose? Which teams in sports, pro, college, NFL, NBA, whatever you want? Who do you love to see lose? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Nick's Place. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So when Kentucky lost last night, and if you're here at Nick's Place, great place to watch March Madness. Bunch of games going on right now. Sanger State up 10 versus UAB right now. But, you know, there was a celebration last night on social media, it seemed, when Kentucky lost, Paul.
Yeah. Because people hate Kentucky.
Do they hate Kentucky or Calipari, you think?
Both. I think they hate Kentucky.
Yeah.
How many other college basketball programs have had someone named Adolf as head coach?
I'm going to guess very few.
Adolf Rupp.
I bet you they're not the only one, but it's not a list that's more than
they're
5.
They're definitely the only blue blood.
I think it'd be weird to Google this. Coaches named Adolf.
Hey, he was an LPH, not an LF.
Well, I got this. There's a soccer coach, Australian football coach.
An Australian football coach named Adolf?
Well, he goes by Addy, but his real name is Adolf.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. How old is he?
He is. I mean, he looks pretty young, dude.
Oh, so he's still
54.
Kicking.
54.
Oh, man.
And his last name is Hutter.
Okay.
Hutter.
So what were his parents thinking with the first one? Because I'm sorry. Even if it's an
A-D-O-L-P-H,
even if it's that.
It's not.
Like, what is it? It's A-D-O-L-F?
Yes.
It's A-D-O-L-F?
Yeah.
And he's 54, so, I mean, his parents were probably alive for World War II.
Yeah. They know exactly what they're doing.
Wow. Aussie's trying to be slick.
Yeah. I mean, it's sometimes, you know. Apparently, it says Hutter's grandmother persuaded his parents to name their son Adolf in memory of his uncle, who died at the age of 27 in a rock avalanche.
Oh, man.
However, he's always gone by the nickname Addy.
Well, that's a rough way to go.
That's a tough life.
A rock avalanche.
And that is a tough way to go. A list of
what were rock avalanche Merck's Adolf's thoughts on World War II?
Probably very pro, I would guess.
I would assume that he would be. No, that guy's probably like he's on the side of the Allies. That must suck. You're like one of the few people around the time of World War II.
You're named
Adolf, and you're not even German.
Yeah, but don't you have to like legally change your name?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would. Like, he's trying to go by Addy. Sorry, that's not working out, home
slice. It's funny. One of my best friends growing up, Sean, his last name is Fear.
Oh, no.
And so whenever he would try to type in, him and his family, when none of them on Facebook have their last name there because they're not allowed to put it in there. It's like it's a red flagged word on Facebook.
Yeah.
So it's Sean and then his middle name. Always.
It's really the one name you can't have.
You gotta get rid of it. Like, you gotta change it.
Obviously, if you're like Himmler or Goebbels or some of the other ones, like, that's probably not as good, but like, this is the one name that no one should ever have.
When him and his wife got married, I was legitimately wondering if they were gonna like change to her last name so they could avoid the conflict in the future, because she would not change her last name. She's like, I'm good with that German name.
Yeah,
no part of that life. But no. She said no. So I'm who do you love to see lose?
I mean, the Yankees number one,
of course.
It used to be any team with a Manning.
Okay.
So Tennessee Volunteers football, the Indianapolis Colts.
Is it go back that far Broncos. For you for real for Tennessee?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Why?
Because I like the Gators growing up.
Okay. Oh, that's
so
right.
I like Florida, right. and I remember they would always beat Manning, and I remember me, 8-year-old, before the 1998 NFL draft, I said to everybody, well, Peyton Manning's never been in Florida. He blows. So yeah. Ryan Leaf's the guy.
Yep.
8-year-old Paul. What a take. But, yeah, any team with the Mannings. I don't like the Ravens, but they're cooler now that they have Lamar Jackson. In college sports, Georgetown, but Georgetown doesn't really matter as much anymore. It's basically all this. Basically, most of the teams I hate are just rivals of the schools or teams that I grew up rooting for.
Yeah.
But Kentucky is one of those ones where when you see them lose, sort of like with Duke, sort of with North Carolina, you do an under the table fist pump.
Do you feel that way at Duke and North Carolina?
Yeah.
Or is there one you hate more than the other?
And if Duke was playing North Carolina, I would pull for North Carolina.
Yeah, same. I lean towards North Carolina over Duke.
But those khaki lackey bastards in the way that they run the ACC crookedly, yeah, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, my least favorite part of like March Madness ever was when there was this Chicago run where when I was covering high school basketball when I was in college, and that was when Jabari Parker and Jahlil Okafor were going through the ranks, and then they both went to Duke. And I hated it. Because, like, I had a good relationship with Jahlil's dad. And I'm like, this is tough, guys. Like, why'd you have to go to Duke? You couldn't have gone anywhere else. Like, I don't want to root for Duke, so I'm sorry.
My least favorite person in the grade I went to high school in, three classmates of mine went to Duke in my high school in Florida. But my least favorite person going to Duke in our grade made me hate Duke even more.
You were just like, this proves it's a terrible university.
I don't think it was a terrible university as much as I just don't like the people that go here.
That's fair. Yankees are definitely number one on my list. What's on your guys' list? 713-780-3776, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Who do you root for the most to lose? Junior Bronco says the Cubs, the Bears, the Bulls, Notre Dame. Agreed. I hate when all those teams win. I would say
Russia. China.
Yeah, Russia and the Olympics. Definitely don't like watching them win games.
Yeah. Now they don't even play in the Olympics anymore. Soft.
Yeah, cheaters.
No, it's because they invaded another country.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the Yankees are number one. I do despise USC, I will say.
Oh, yeah. I don't like USC either.
USC's up there. I enjoy
USC. I love my sophomore year transferred there. So that's why okay. I hate USC.
Is that where most your hate just stems from?
No, it's, I mean, I just hate everybody. Like
this is like personal hate, so it's like...
Yeah, it's almost always it's grudges. Like I heard Sean and Dell talking about it earlier this week. Oh, yeah, I'll hold a grudge. Yeah, I used to not really care about USC, and then a girl I liked my sophomore year, she transferred there, and I was like, damn it, you're so smart to transfer to a much more fun school than Syracuse. And a better one, too.
Yeah, and you're going to live a much better life if you go there.
Eric in Jersey Village says any team that has LeBron. Yeah, that's a good one.
3331, the Cowgirls.
Cowboys. It's the Cowboys.
0105, this might just also be Junior Broncos, Chicago Bears, and Notre Dame. Guys, come on! We're okay, people. What do we do to you? Accomplish nothing? Because that's what they've done. At least the Yankees have won something.
That's the funny thing with people like hating. I mean, they're just trying to rile you up. But you're clearly not passionate about to defend the...
What is there to defend?
There's nothing to defend.
There's nothing to defend. If they give me something to defend, I will argue with you guys. But I have nothing.
I feel like most people liked the Michael Jordan Bulls as opposed to with LeBron. I feel like most people do not like the LeBron James, any team that he's on. Maybe had he stayed on the Cavs his whole career, that would be different. But... it is definitely a different dynamic. I think there are more people that are like, yeah, Michael Jordan. Yeah, go Bulls.
LeBron is also with him, because he's definitely on my list too. I think part of it is the, as you say, speak for your pizza.
Yeah.
Television shows that just talk about him so much and all the time. It's all about LeBron this and LeBron that. And even when there's people who don't like LeBron on those shows, they go so far with their disdain for LeBron that it almost makes you want to like him the tiniest little bit or defend him. But I think that's what LeBron is mostly. He's been shoved into our face since he was 17.
He has, and so part of it's not his fault, but I do think that a lot of people just turned on him and would never come back when he jumped ship for the Miami Heat. The way that he did it, more than the act of actually doing it himself.
Yeah.
Anyone in their right mind would leave Cleveland to go to Miami to play with two people that you consider friends who are also good at basketball, better than anybody that you were playing with at the time.
And if the world was different back in the mid-90s, someone else besides Dennis Rodman would have joined the Bulls, too. Shaq has gone on the record that he has said that if it was more acceptable to join a winner, he would have signed with the Bulls instead of the Lakers.
Yeah.
Which would have been wild.
That would have been crazy.
Because that's like, what, 35-year-old Jordan then playing with Shaq?
That would have been something else.
Obviously, my other number one. Mainly because I get a kick out of that they lose to the 49ers every single year in the playoffs. Of course, I love watching the Packers lose in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have nothing to root
for. That's your Super Bowl.
It is my Super Bowl. When the 49ers take down the Packers in the playoffs, it's a great day in my life.
It does seem like that happens a whole lot.
It happens so much. Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, Brock Purdy, they've all done it.
I would say as far as teams that people in Houston root to see lose in 2024, number one, probably the Dodgers right now, which is why everyone's getting a kick out of this.
Yeah,
I think the Dodgers with Yankees. The recent news, I think that has elevated them. Because I think with the Yankees, with the way that they were so disappointing last year and now having beaten them in four playoff series, like, you don't really think that much about the New York Yankees. You don't even think twice about them. The Rangers are probably number one overall, though, even over the Dodgers, now that I think about it. It's funny. I keep on, like, shutting that part out of my brain. It's like I've blacked it out of my brain where I keep on forgetting that the Rangers won the World Series. It's not fun, man. Not fun to remember.
Yeah, if they lose this year, people are going to get a big kick out of it.
But the Astros have to go farther than them and probably win for me to actually get a kick out of it.
Yeah, because if the Astros both, and let's just say, the Astros and the Rangers both lose in the ALDS in different series, I don't really get any excitement out of that.
No, I don't either. And, I mean, yeah, the Rangers will still have last year on us.
I would also assume that most people would say just, like, your main football or basketball team that you went to school, your rival is number one. Like, I'm going to guess for Mapes, A&M is at the top of his list.
But here's a weird thing with Texas fans. Texas fans like to pretend like they don't hate A&M, even though they privately do hate A&M. But they'll never acknowledge it publicly. They all say that OU is the team that they actually hate the most. It's a very funny dynamic. I think with A&M, A&M is very clear about their disdain for Texas.
For Texas, yeah. I don't know. Cougs, who do you think Cougs fans hate the most?
Hmm.
Probably Texas?
I would imagine Texas, because there are a lot of people that go to the University of Houston that also root for Texas.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, Houston has gotten good, and they're probably a little bit annoyed with those people that are bandwagon-y, if you will.
I bet you there's also, like an eras thing. No, it's not a big era difference, but, like, if you went to Houston when Sumlin left for A&M, or if you went to Houston when Herman left for Texas, you probably hate that school more, depending on which coach
that makes sense.
Spurned you.
Or, yeah.
And then Briles do the same thing, go to Baylor?
Yeah, he did.
From Houston? So
Houston probably just hates everybody in Texas, that's not them.
It probably just depends on who
I like
you for that.
Shasta, baby.
Texas Tech probably just hates themselves. So that's what I would imagine.
No, they don't hate themselves. They just hate Lubbock. That's why they drink so much.
He is Paul Gallant. You can find him on Twitter, at Gallant Says. I'm Joe George on Twitter, at Joe George Radio. Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter. It's a top what? Pass rushing duo in the NFL. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. When you sign up, you get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. And look, it's another big day of March Madness action that you can bet on at MyBookie.ag. What are we talking about? Oh, man, we're talking about all the games later today. How about our beloved Cougs? Some people are scared because of that Reddit thread talking about all the phallic-sounding teams. You're thinking to yourself, uh-oh, I don't know what's going to happen when these two teams go up against. They have to beat the curse. Well, they could also beat the spread. That would be nice, right? And in tonight's college basketball action, Houston, at this moment in time, is a 24-point favorite on the Longwood Lancers. Wow, that's also kind of double phallic. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You can bet on TCU, 4-point favorites against Utah State. That came a little bit later. You could also bet on the Aggies, 1-point favorites against Nebraska, with that one tipping off a little bit later. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 for an awesome deposit bonus. It's MyBookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Nick's Place.
Do you think the Texans have a top three pass rushing duo in the NFL this year? I mean, they have, what, 27 sacks? 28 sacks?
28 sacks that they added this offseason between Danico Autry and Danielle Hunter. You have Will Anderson last year. I mean, if you're looking at their pass rush, you're looking at the biggest names, and it's Anderson and Hunter.
Yeah, that's like, I guess that's like the duo you're thinking about.
It's really a matter of, like, how much better do you think Will Anderson is going to be his second year than he was his first year? And I would say that, I mean, very obviously, he has a better rookie season to look back at than J.J. Watt, even though J.J. Watt had, of course, the pick six in the playoffs. I mean, Will Anderson was just better as a rookie.
Mm-hmm. Will Anderson, the reason why I think it should be so easy to see that he has a much better year is because remember when he started really slow? Like, I think it kind of got forgotten about as the end of the season, as the sack numbers really like just doubled and tripled, it felt like, at the end of the year. But he had a sack his first game, and then he went a while before he had his next one. So it took him a while to figure out, like, really how to get to the quarterback at the NFL level. And then when the sacks started coming, they started coming in waves. And now you have Danielle Hunter, who's been a 10-plus, 12-plus sack guy every year the last 3 years. So they should be at the top for sure. I would still view, you know, Khalil Mack and, you know, Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa as one of the top groups. But the Texans have a chance next year to have a very dominant pass rush. Be up there with the Steelers and the Cowboys.
It's going to need to be. It's going to need to be. They don't have any secondary guys right now. I know, like, people are perhaps overlooking just how little they have back there. And, yeah, the draft can answer some of those problems. But right now, with where they're at in free agency and with the amount of contracts that they've already given out, you got to imagine they don't have much space left. And, I mean, Derek Stingley's your best corner.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone after that, I don't really know who I trust. I trust Desmond King as a run support inside the box safety/corner. I trust. I don't know who I trust after that. I trust that Jimmy Ward and is friendly with D'Amico Ryans because of them working together before. I don't really even know who to look at right now and say who's the second best defensive back on the Texans.
It's probably Petrie, right?
Yeah, but see, last year was, I don't know if it was a scheme thing or what, but last year felt like a step back. Not even a step to the side, step back. A
couple steps back, probably.
Because, the turnovers weren't happening, but the missed tackles still were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the random moments where, like, they were putting him back deep and he was getting beat deep.
It's not good.
No, not good.
Now, Desmond King's not a great cover corner. He's more just, like you said, attacking the run game. He's good at that. It's by far their biggest weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And the draft doesn't fix it with where you're at now.
Probably not, at least immediately. I mean, you could find somebody, but you're not expecting to find somebody there. You know, you could end up with Tariq Woolen, who the Seahawks got a couple of years ago. But, yeah, the odds are you're not going to find that guy.
I mean, you're going to see one of these cornerbacks that, you know, I heard the Beast talking about this yesterday, I think it was, how one of the cornerbacks that you thought you were going to get at 27, the way the drafts are is going to flow, there's a good chance one of them's still on the board at 42, and they fall 15 picks or whatever it is. So you're still hoping that you can get a top corner if you want them, but you don't know the answer to that. So that's why I hate this idea that Texans Twitter is kind of pumping right now, whether it's defensive tackle or cornerback. It's like, well, we're just going to solve this in the draft.
Or we're going to solve it because D'Amico Ryans is kind of Mr. Miyagi their way, wax on, wax off, to them being a better player.
You know, everyone's making a big deal that the Texans defensive line coach is talking to Tavondre Sweat at the Texas Pro Day. Okay, cool.
Let's get a life.
Everyone's assuming he's going to be there at 42. You don't know that.
Yeah.
Like it's everyone is just assuming because they're doing these mock draft simulations.
Pro Day takes.
That all these players that they want are going to be on the board for them. And the reality is maybe one of them will be. So, it's just that's where the secondary is not good enough.
Yeah.
If the Texans want to be, we talked about the athletic power ranking where they put them number 4 in the NFL. That's wrong. If they don't fix the secondary, they're not going to make it out of the first round of the playoffs. Or out of the division round of the playoffs, I would say. They can win a wild card game again next year, no problem, with where they're at right now. I firmly believe that. But you're not going to beat one of those elite quarterbacks in the NFL with what you have right now in the second.
I don't even know what they'll be against those guys because we saw them go up against so few. Like, really, Joe Burrow was the only one they went up against. And what are we saying?
And they crushed him.
What's-his-face catches that pass in the... Well, I mean, the Bengals didn't crush, but they did well, you know? Mm-hmm. They could have won that game if there's a caught pass in the end zone towards the very end. But they dropped the pass in the end zone. So that was one game where we saw the Texans go up against an elite throwing quarterback. And they went up against Lamar Jackson twice. But the rest of it, I mean, like, Baker Mayfield looked good against them. Desmond Ridder looked good against them. Zach Wilson looked good against them. Bryce Young looked not like crap against them. It's concerning.
It is. It definitely is. It's just where they're at going forward, it's this biggest question mark I have. But back to the defensive line, I think it should be dominant this year. It should be really good. Will Anderson and Danielle Autry, I mean, Danielle Hunter and D'Amico Autry, the three of those guys alone, they should give the Texans probably the, you know, if they were 10th in the NFL last year in sacks, I would feel positive.
Be more?
Yeah, I feel like they'll be higher on that list.
Yeah, I feel better about that,
so,
too.
And that should help, in theory, your secondary. Because it's not always, we all know, it's not always apples and oranges.
No.
Like, it's not always like, oh, you get more sacks, your secondary is better.
You hope that you get, though, quarterbacks who are a little bit more panicky, that make bad mistakes, and you get more takeaways than you did this past season.
Yeah.
But you did pretty good on that front last year, too, especially since C.J. Stroud so rarely turned the football over.
We got a question here on the Twitch. Why did we trade Collins? I don't know.
It seemed like they thought they were going to get Eric Armstead and something fell through. I don't know what it was.
I think
seems
that's
like
a
it was the contract. Well, Malik Collins was for Keenan Allen and for Eric Armstead, I guess.
Maybe I can't remember. All those moves were happening kind of at the same time, but they got none of it.
No,
and that's where, that's a little concerning that Nick Caserio would make a trade like that if the only intention was to, like, if you think something else is done, to make a trade and then not have the other piece of the puzzle fall into place, that's weird. It just seems ill-advised.
It's suboptimal, but, I mean, like, you can't control what the other person's going to do. You know, you can't, like, grab him by the throat and say, accept the steal, bitch, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Can't,
Casario or whatever Robo Casario would be. 10101111, I am the Rapture, the robot revolution is coming. You better make the trade happen or I'll find your family first.
That's a pretty good robot,
10101111.
I'll give you credit for that.
One.
All right, he's Paul Gallant. You can find him on Twitter at Gallant Says
Zero,
I'm Joe George.
One.
You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. Austin Rodriguez back in the studio. The Killer Bees will be here live at Nick's Place till 6 o'clock. Joel Blank and Brian will be on site. Jeremy will be remote getting ready for his Cougs game. They will be on the air till 6 today. They'll be on 97.5 and 92.5 till 5:15. They'll flip over just to 92.5 at 5:15 as we get Texas A&M coverage underway. But until 6 o'clock, you got $4 beers and Wells drinks, $5 arenas,
yeah.
$6 wine. Sounds like some good deals. So come out to Nick's Place, enjoy some drinks, some grub. I got a pizza myself on the way right now, Paul Gallant.
Look
but
at
we'll,
you.
We'll wrap up the show next here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. It's a premium whiskey born in the great American West with the legacy of the American cowboy forged into every bottle. Love this stuff. Going to pour myself a glass of this to watch the rest of the basketball games a little bit later. You know what I do. One rock, two fingers. Glorious day. Pendleton Whiskey is made barrel-aged in American oak, cut with glacier-fed spring water from Oregon's Mount Hood. And on top of that, it's made with the finest northern grains. You blend it all together. Pendleton Whiskey is something that basically satisfies your inner cowboy. You can get a bottle of Pendleton Whiskey at drizzly.com or your local liquor store. Pendleton Whiskey, true Western tradition.
Broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Nick's Place. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Live here at Nick's Place watching March Madness. We got San Diego State up 61-60 versus UAB. So we got a 12 seed on the heels of a 5 seed right now. Texas A&M plays tonight. The Cougs play tonight.
Our beloved Cougs.
Go Cougs. And gig 'em for those out there. For those Aggies.
Well, I'll hook them, too.
I'll hook them, yeah.
And then what's
they
the,
did win.
What's the TCU gang sign?
Well, is TCU in the tournament?
TCU's playing later tonight.
I can't remember. I don't really view them as a Texas school.
And then Baylor played already. They won by
Baylor
a million.
Baylor won by a lot.
So you just sick them? Yeah, I don't know what TCU's thing is. I know that Texas Tech
guns
is
up.
Guns up.
They lost.
They did.
Thank you.
R.I.P. in peace.
It is... My favorite part of the tournament every year, though, is the buzzer beaters, and we need more of them in our lives, Paul.
I would like some
buzzer
beaters.
I thought we were going to get one at the end of the Northwestern game, but that was the worst.
Yeah, we almost did, but FAU just completely butchered that. Yeah, that was a pretty awful way to go. And then they got smoked in overtime, too. I think Northwestern scored every point in overtime.
Yeah,
so
they scored by like
10.
And they couldn't score the whole first half of the game.
No bueno.
At this point. I was trying to think back to the remakes thing we were talking about earlier. And we did get a follow-up text that the Batman movies are not remakes. If I could, though, if I had my way, I wish I could get Christian Bale back, though. The voice is a little extreme, but I did love it.
Where is he? Where is Harvey?
Do you lose your voice when you do that?
If I did it long enough, I would.
Do you like Robert Pattinson better? He's actually... It surprised me how much I enjoyed him as Batman.
Robert Pattinson Batman's like this. March 22nd, I'm at Nick's Place. I'm waiting to get absolutely shampooed later watching the tournament.
All right, what other Batman
Am
do you have?
Am I making a difference?
Do you have an Adam West?
No, I can't.
I was curious. I was like, do you have any other Batman in the
That would involve some sort of sexual innuendo. The Michael Keaton Batmans are overrated. I think it's like the most boomer take ever.
We're talking about trailers earlier. The new Beetlejuice trailer came out.
Yeah, I saw that. It's another movie with the girl that plays Wednesday, Jenna Ortega.
Yeah.
Jenna Ortega. Good for whoever is her agent, because, my God, they are putting her in literally everything.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Beetlejuice 2 is not a movie that's going to be on my bucket list of things to see.
Why not?
The first one's fine, but I don't know. I don't need another Beetlejuice movie.
What do you need?
Right now, I don't know what I need. I need some better movies, though. I still need to see Dune 2.
How about that pizza that you're about to eat thanks to Nick's place?
Yeah, I can't wait to eat that. I still need to see Dune 2.
And the $4 Bud Light.
I've let my people down. You and Sean, specifically.
Well, yeah, I mean, you claim to be a nerd, and you haven't even seen
Dude,
it.
Dude, I got a 3-year-old at home. You know how hard it is to go to the movies?
Hint of a reason, stuff with a lie.
I might try to go see it on Sunday. Because I have zero dad responsibilities until Sunday at, like, 3 o'clock.
Oh.
So, kiddo's with my parents this weekend, so.
Man.
I have zero adult responsibilities.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You going to make it back?
Yeah, it's only a 2-hour drive. We'll be fine.
That's the famous last words of any married father when they get away from
the
kids.
My wife's coming with me, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is a real party.
So
let's go.
I have zero responsibility this weekend.
Okay.
I don't even have to stress about her being stressed out about being with the baby.
Is she going to be excited to watch college basketball with you?
No, she's not going to watch college basketball with me.
Is she going to watch Grey's Anatomy with you, and you're going to be watching college basketball as well?
She told me that she's going to... I was like, are you going to play blackjack with me? She's like, no, I'm probably going to play slots. I'm like, okay. She'll probably win more money than me this weekend playing slots.
What's wrong with slots?
I don't enjoy it. It's not my thing.
But you can always win the jackpot.
I know, but like, it's just sitting there.
It's completely random. Yeah, the sitting there is impressive.
It's not for me.
Especially, you'll see some people at some of these casinos, and it's like, it's clear they've soiled themselves in the seat, and they just haven't gotten up, because it's generally...
Ooh.
You know, some of the folks that are at these are, you know, maybe up there in age. I know there are some people who are not up there in age who actually wear diapers to casinos so that they don't lose out on any of their gambling time.
That, you got a problem.
You just stay there. You get your free drinks brought to you all day long. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, it's just playing the slots is not for me, but playing blackjack and other forms of poker, that'll be my main thing I do this weekend, I would say. All right, it's time. It's the end of the show, and that means it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Speaking of TV shows, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, we got two different trailers. One is the green trailer, which is supposed to support House Hightower. The other, the black trailer, is supposed to support House Targaryen.
Yep,
have you
black.
Chosen? Yeah, I think everyone's team black. Like, no one likes the Hightower.
They're not good.
You also probably know that they are going down, right? Like, it's...
Oh, I'm pretty confident they win, I think.
Oh, you think they're going to win?
I think they're the clear winners. I think there's too much arrogance on
Okay, good. Black. Now this makes me feel a little bit better, because I do feel, in my opinion, it seems like the Civil War is going to be won by the team, by the family that actually has Targaryen as the last name.
Yeah, I think the green team's going to win. I did really enjoy.
Can you bet on this without, or is that illegal?
No, because it's
script?
A book.
I used to look at Game of Thrones episodes as sporting
they,
games.
Well, they were for so long. You know,
until everyone got plot armor in season 5.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Fred passing away and like what they used to do with Game of Thrones. I only hope House of Dragons gets to that point. I would love to just on a Monday during baseball season.
Oh, yeah. You think I want to talk about baseball? I just want to talk about Game of Thrones.
But oh, you're a sports talk to us.
Yeah, I know.
It hasn't picked up quite the steam yet. It seemed pretty popular, though.
It was good. I enjoyed it. I think the problem was, if I'm not mistaken, that House of the Dragon Season 1 was during football season on Sundays.
Yeah, huge mistake.
So it probably did not resonate as much as it would in the summer. Also, soon to come, this garbage time is essentially just promoting HBO Max content.
That's fine.
By the way, Tokyo Vice, my favorite TV show right now. But The Penguin also dropped a trailer with Colin Farrell playing
Penguin
from the Robert Pattinson The Batman movie.
Can't wait for that.
I am very excited for that. I gotta say, like, I can't believe every single time I see Colin Farrell playing Oswald Cobblepot, I cannot believe that is Colin Farrell.
No, that's an all-time makeup performance.
Seriously.
By them, because it looks nothing like him.
The best that I can think of, like, on the same lines is maybe... maybe Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill in that one movie. But
yeah, it was funny. I remember seeing the original Batman trailer with when Colin, when the Penguin shows up for the first time, and everyone's like, yeah, Colin Farrell's in this trailer. I was like, where? Where is he in said trailer? Because I don't see him.
You don't know who
And then you see the still shots, and you're like, okay, I guess that's him. Like, I guess I have to believe you. But it was.
We finally found out what's going on with the Princess of England, Kate Middleton. She had an announcement today that she has cancer, which is actually very sad. Do you feel bad for any speculation you may have done about the Princess of Edinston's Berkshire?
The, I haven't had the, I don't have
the First Lady of Hatshire?
I did see people getting roasted last night. Because there's that one tweet about things from the UK disappearing. And it was a picture of her and then John Calipari. And like people get people, everyone was like replying to it. So then the news that happened today, obviously, like you said, very unfortunate. People are going kind of getting old takes exposed a little bit. Can get roasted for their takes.
Listen, I hope she does well, but I think it's just weird that we're so fascinated with like someone who's really of little importance to the grand world scheme.
But that, all of that stuff makes no sense to me.
Right?
Like the wedding, Meghan Markle, all that stuff. Don't care. Don't have a care in the world. I don't live in that country. I don't care.
But it's also that we legitimately fought a war to be free of those inbred people forever.
And now we love them,
and
some people.
And some people still love them, and it's the same. And I suppose you could say, well, you guys love sports and you watch it all the time. And fair point. But the obsession with her, the obsession with Taylor Swift.
Okay, but like I get
it's
those.
A little weird.
I get like Kardashian, Taylor Swift. They're in your country all the time. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Not for you?
It's not for me.
Well, hey, you know what is for you? That pizza and that Bud Light.
It is.
Nick's Place, which is where we're at.
All right, we are live here at Nick's Place. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. The Killer Bees will be
$5 burritos!
$4 beers and well drinks.
$6 wine.
And then if you want to come check out, come watch some soccer and support other countries.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning, $2 mimosas, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., $3 Bellinis, $7 medium two-topping pizza, $7 pitchers of beer, $7 party bowl drinks. Those are always a good time. I might need to get one of those. No, I can't do that today. All right, that does it for us. The Killer Bees will be up next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will talk to you on Monday.
Peace!